Good morning. First of all, show of hands, how many folks are not from the Tar Heel State, North Carolina, are visiting us? The majority. Well, welcome to North Carolina. We specifically lowered the humidity and temperature for this meeting, mid-year meeting of APHA. Normally in Charlotte in late June, it is hotter and humider. So we're really, really pleased to be enjoying this great climate for this this meeting. I'm going to be giving a state view of the Community Transformation Grant, and North Carolina was a fortunate recipient, receiving the fourth highest award in the nation in 2011. I want to give a shout out to our Chronic Disease and Injury Section Chief, Ruth Peterson. Raise your hand, Ruth, who was the recipient of that grant, and her staff were tremendous in writing this and also now in the implementation phase. I do want to say at the outset that my talk is going to be divided roughly into the programs that we proposed and our implementation strategy in North Carolina, which is the 10th largest state in the nation and a very heterogeneous state, going from the coast to the mountains, from a metro area like Charlotte to some very, very poor rural isolated parts of our state. Our four programs are as listed here. We want to limit secondhand smoke or tobacco exposure, improve active living by design, promote healthy eating, our two obesity initiatives, as Paul described, and then improve clinical preventive services, focusing mainly on the Million Hearts campaign on reducing risk factors, so the secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease and stroke in our population. So first strategy is tobacco-free living, and here are the four major points of this program. We want to increase smoke-free regulations of local government buildings and of indoor public places. As described in what you did in California, Paul, we want to really replicate that here in a historically a tobacco state, as you know. Increase tobacco-free regulations for government grounds, including parks and recreational areas. And our newest business area of development is increasing smoke-free housing policies and affordable multi-unit housing developments and other private sector market-based housing. We've realized that when these units go smoke-free, they're documented, and health impact is huge, like decreased emergency department visits of children with asthma and so forth living in those developments. And then finally, increase to 100% our tobacco-free policies on community, state, and private university colleges and campuses. In the area of obesity, under active living and healthy eating, our major strategies are to increase the number of communities that implement comprehensive plans that include health. I'll give you some exciting examples of that in one of our CPBD communities, as Paul mentioned. Increase the number of community organizations that promote joint use and community use of facilities. You know, why is the school shut down at 3 o'clock when school ends? It's a huge facility that could be used by the community after hours. These joint use agreements get rid of a lot of those liability issues and barriers. In the healthy eating realm, we want to increase the number of convenience and corner stores offering and promoting healthier food and beverage options. Increase the number of communities that support farmers markets, mobile markets, and farm stands. These activities will be led by the physical activity and nutrition branch within Dr. Peterson's section of chronic disease prevention. In the area of clinical preventive services, again, focusing on those Million Heart campaign issues, increase the number of healthcare providers, quality improvement systems for clinical practice management of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, tobacco cessation, and you could add aspirin use to that, weight management as well. This is all now much more feasible with health information exchange and the public health meaningful use initiatives that many of you, I'm sure, are involved with. One of those public health meaningful use initiatives are these sorts of secondary prevention activities that happen in the clinic. This is a major theme of the APHA mid-year conference, by the way, is increasing this collaboration between clinical medicine and public health. Increase the number of healthcare organizations that support tobacco use screening and referral to cessation services, and increase the number of community supports for individuals identified with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and tobacco use. this area will be covered by the heart disease and stroke prevention branch within Dr. Peterson's section. So summarizing our strategies is basically expanding the evidence base. So again, all of these strategies are evidence-based. And as Dr. Berwick said yesterday, no pilots. We want to begin things at scale. Okay, so when you know that this works, it's really, it's get beyond the pilot, move it to scale. And I'll show you how we're going to be doing that when I get to implementation at the last half of my presentation. But also importantly, we wanted to focus on eliminating the health disparities that plague our state, particularly those that are due to social determinants, racial and ethnic variations of our population, and so forth. And we've incorporated our Office of Minority Health within the CTG community so that health disparities are going to be absolutely involved in all of those interventions to make sure that we're going to be measuring them, that they're being addressed, monitoring the performance and evaluating partner and community engagement, tracking changes, policies, and systems, and measuring the changes in the behavior and health status of communities that are disproportionately affected by these outcomes. So let's look at some examples of local successes of some of these interventions that have already begun. And I must say, you know, we're all anticipating the Supreme Court decision tomorrow. What's with that? You know, we've already been implementing the Affordable Care Act for the last 2 years. And with a little luck, and if Congress leaves their hands off of things, we're going to continue with things like the Community Transformation Grant. Supreme Court or not. Thumbs up. So in this map of North Carolina, I'm going to show you several maps today of our state. These are counties reporting written regulations prohibiting smoking or tobacco use in all county buildings. So the yellow is county buildings only. The blue or teal indicates comprehensive Board of Health rule or comprehensive county commission ordinance. So you can see that this is really expanding statewide. Durham County, which is in the Piedmont area there in the center part of the state where Durham City is, just passed one of the most comprehensive smoke-free ordinances in the state. So a big shout out to Durham and that community. Community college campuses in North Carolina, you can just see the policy changes in the last 6 years, 2006 to 2012, of the number of campuses that have gone 100% tobacco free in this brief 6 year period. This is a tremendous success, again, brought about by these changes that are occurring and facilitated by the Affordable Care Act. We only have a few campuses remaining, shown in the orange stars, and this is going to be one of the target areas of the Community Transformation Grant in the area of secondhand smoke prevention. Here's one of our successes in the CPPD communities. This was Pitt County. I saw Dr. Morrow here. I know he's at the meeting. Dr. John Morrow is the local health director of Pitt County, and I want to personally give him a note for the tremendous success that he was able to achieve in the Communities Putting Prevention to Work project that he undertook. Shown here is the 2030 Comprehensive Land Use Plan that involved multiple stakeholders in Pitt County, a population of about 150,000. And you can see that community health is in there and is now integral and part and parcel with all the other major government pieces that go into these comprehensive land use plans. So finally, public health is getting a seat at the table with these broader policymakers, including the environment, natural resources, the Department of Health and Human Services, of course, which is public health, the Department of Transportation, Commerce, and other partners that we are traditionally not involved with. This is the beginning of the health and all policies philosophy that we're trying to permeate throughout the state. Again, in Pitt County, here's the Healthy Corner Initiative. A store owner here is showing his recently installed refrigerator unit for providing fresh fruits and vegetables that replaced, the hot fry stand, which is another part of the store, I'm sure. But nevertheless, he's got this now, and it is available. And this is due to relationships between local health departments and their communities. So it was Dr. Morrow and Joe Morgan who had a relationship with these store owners and were able to get these changes into place. So they made the business sense to these people to get these changes started. In the area of clinical preventive services, we're going to be, again, targeting the Million Hearts campaign with high blood pressure control, high cholesterol control, tobacco use, weight management, aspirin use when appropriate, and getting that accountable for in the emerging health information exchange in North Carolina. This will be promoting linkages between community health resources and clinical preventive services in a way that puts the boots on the ground. And it builds on current initiatives that I'm going to review in the last half of my presentation on implementation. This is real transformational change for public health in North Carolina to be working closely with our clinical partners and doing the things that we know work on a population basis, but in the clinic. So in the next half of this presentation, I want to talk about implementation of the Community Transformation Grant using a regional approach, which is leveraging existing regional infrastructure in our large and heterogeneous state, as I said in the introduction. I'm going to show you four maps on existing infrastructure in North Carolina, and here is our state again, now divided by AHEC regions. There are nine of them. AHEC is our area health education centers, and these are going to be the folks that are going to be working with 10 practices in each region to implement the Million Hearts campaign in a robust fashion. CTG, we were able to hire one coordinator per AHEC region to do that. So here's part of the FTE expansion enabled by CTG. So this is our nine new FTEs that are going to be embedded in the AHECs, going to work with these 10 practices to implement this change. Again, leveraging existing infrastructure is really the only way we can go about this in such a large state. The second regional map is Community Care of North Carolina, which is divided into 14 regions. Community Care of North Carolina is our solution to Medicaid managed care. The Community Care is a 501c3. They get a per member per month from our Medicaid population, and they manage Medicaid patients. They focus on the ones that are much more costly, both in terms of health outcomes and dollar. Through management of folks who have frequent readmissions in the hospital, chronic disease management, and so on and so forth. But now they're going to be working more in the area of prevention as we can work and leverage the community care network and their informatics structure, which has case management in their Medicaid population across the state. Again, this will be one of the areas that we use to leverage regional capacity that exists in North Carolina to affect change in the clinic for the Medicaid population. I might add that there are two of the CCNC networks here are doing a multi-payer pilot that include Medicare and our state health plan, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield. So it's possible that this could greatly expand from not just the Medicaid population, but to the general covered population. The next regional map are the 10 local health districts that are formed by the North Carolina Association of Local Health Departments. We do have some local health directors here. Are any of them in the room today? They want to, yeah, there's Dare County back there. Good. So what the health directors have agreed to do is to use the advantage of this existing infrastructure to leverage CTG statewide by, instead of accepting money down to the county level, to the county health department level, they're accepting the CTG money to the regional level. And here we're going to be employing teams of CTG interventionists. So they're going to be a CTG lead in every region, one that's focusing on rural populations, The subject matter leads, so we'll have one on tobacco, one on eating, and one on physical activity. A communication specialist and an admin slash fiscal person. So seven new FTEs per local health department region, and those teams will have responsibilities for their 10 regions in the state. And this is going to be more in the area of tobacco-free living and active living and improving healthy foods to the population. My final map is the community transformation grantees, showing how these are going to be working based on that 10 regional local health department district map I showed you. But the starred counties are the lead counties in the CTG communities. I will note, because of the federal guidelines on CTG, at least on this first funding round, remember that communities that had 500,000 people or more had to apply independently. So Mecklenburg County, where we are right now, Charlotte, and Wake County, where Raleigh is, across the state in the middle there, could not apply with the state of North Carolina. They had to apply independently, and they were not funded in that first round. But they can definitely be at the table now in this new regional leverage. And I'm with the CDC right here. I'm letting him know that these two large communities will be able to work, because they are part of these local health department regions, they'll be able to take advantage of the grant and the programs without direct funding. And I think this was a really good idea as we move forward. Finally, this is late-breaking news before I wrap up. One of our private partners, the K.P. Reynolds Charitable Trust, just recently, and I don't have a slide on this because we had to prepare this slide deck a long time ago. Was it last month? I remember it was a while ago. But in the meantime, we have received funding from the KBR Charitable Trust to enhance North Carolina's community transformation project in what we call Tier 1 counties. Tier 1 is how we rate. We have three tiers in North Carolina. So Tier 1 are the poorest, most impoverished, usually rural counties in the state. So they have designated this, they call this the Catalyst Initiative for Tier 1 counties. It's a pilot project where they've hired one person per four counties, and it's Beaufort, Cleveland, Halifax, and Rockingham County on that map. So with that private funding, they're going to be working with the existing CTG infrastructure that we are building now to enhance and catalyze activities in these four very rural and poor Tier 1 counties. So a big thank you to the Kate B. Reynolds Charitable Trust. Are there any representatives from the Cape? Thank you very much. That was a wonderful idea of the public-private partnership that we're always seeking in public health. So in conclusion, our community transformation grant framework involves in that core area our four programs of tobacco prevention and control, heart disease and stroke prevention in the clinic, the Million Hearts campaign, physical activity and nutrition, and leveraging our existing regional infrastructure to impact change in a state with 9.5 million people and an ever-changing population dynamic. All of this is being implemented this year, and we hope to see really exciting results in the near future. Thank you very much.